It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Walker received a glimmer of the national spotlight yesterday as the New York Times profiled his tight race for re-election and what it means for his possible presidential ambitions.
All eyes were on Wisconsin 2 years ago when the governor fought to keep his seat during a contentious recall election. After he became the first governor to win a recall, many Republican strategists were convinced Walker would be a strong contender for the presidency.
The flip side is that if Governor Walker doesn't win re-election this year, it may mean that the road to the presidency ends here.
Here to talk about how this election might affect the political future of Governor Walker is Joe Heim. He's a professor of political science at the UW-La Crosse. Joe, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, when Governor Walker won that recall election a couple years back, it convinced a lot of people that winning a second term wouldn't be too difficult. Was that a fair prediction at the time?
At the time, I think that was misread. If you looked at some of the polls, and there are very few that actually asked this question, he won more handily in the recall election, and the turnout was even better than it was 2 years earlier. I think it was 53-46, if I remember correctly. However, if you get into the people who voted for him and you look at the numbers in polls, a substantial number, and I remember seeing one poll that was about 7-10%, said they weren't voting for Walker but against the recall. And I think people misinterpreted that to mean, well, these people, 53-47, he's going to sail through to reelection. 6 months later, the governor's party lost the presidency handily in the state of Wisconsin. It tells you that Wisconsin can go both ways. So that's why I think this contest is so close. People may have said it's not fair to have a recall. It's got to be something more substantial than just policy differences. But it didn't mean they were committed to voting for him into the future. And I think he's got a 4-year term that he has to stand on now.
When we look at the numbers in the race, polls out every couple of weeks at least now, does it match up with the numbers you're talking about even? And maybe that's because those people who voted against the recall but weren't for Governor Walker in particular have switched sides, kind of?
Yes. I think some of those people may have gone to undecided, but more likely some of them said, well, I gave him a break 2 years ago, and now I'm open to it. There was a quote in that New York Times article of a lady who said she voted for Walker in the recall but is voting for Mary Burke now. So he's had a full four-year term to lay out his plans to move the state in the direction that he wanted, and he's going to lose some of those people that otherwise did not believe in recall.
Now, before we turn to the national stage, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about, any other big differences in this race for governor versus 2 years ago in the recall or even 4 years ago when the governor was first elected?
Well, I think 4 years ago and 2 years ago, he was running against a Milwaukee mayor. And I recall very vividly that before the Democrats actually picked Mayor Barrett, The Walker administration basically had months of essentially putting ads on TV running. So he had months and months basically to get ready for that recall, whereas the Democratic nominee basically had a lot less. Secondarily, I recall the last 2 or 3 weeks of that recall race, it almost seemed as if Governor Walker was running not so much against Barrett, but against Milwaukee. There were a lot of ads that talked about how terrible Milwaukee was, crime, corruption, and you don't really want those people running the state of Wisconsin. Part of that explains why the governor did so well outstate areas. In other words, the rural areas in northern and western Wisconsin. Let's face it, Milwaukee is not held in high regard in the rural areas in Wisconsin. And this was an advantage, frankly, and I think he recognized it. With Mary Burke, obviously she's not from Milwaukee, so she has had benefit. However, some of the ads are popping up saying, you know, that Madison liberal or that Dane County liberal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can't hit Milwaukee, go for Dane County or go for Madison. So that's it's not quite as solid, and I think that's part of the reason the governor's race is a lot closer.
Well, now, turning to the concept that kind of triggered this discussion, looking at what this election means for Governor Walker if he's considering a run for president in a couple of years, for the average person living outside of the state who, you know, maybe isn't closely following the daily twists and turns of Wisconsin's politics, is Scott Walker on their radar right now?
Yes, particularly some of the stronger right-wing interests in the United States. It's widely known that Governor Walker is getting more than a majority of his money from out of state, in other words. That means that national figures that moneyed interest in the Republican Party are very interested in his success. They see, and I don't think it's so much that they're interested in him running for the presidency necessarily. Maybe a few are, but I think they like his agenda a lot. They think he's a courageous right-wing person who is willing to push an agenda that they really enhance their position. So he's doing very well across the country. I recall just a couple months ago when the John Doe issue stuff is popping up, and there was a rumor that that Governor Walker's lawyer was attempting to make a deal to kind of get this off the radar before the election. And there is a series of several editorials in the Wall Street Journal about that issue and about Governor Walker. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't recall any time in my lifetime that the Wall Street Journal has had a series of articles, a series of editorials, essentially about the governor in the state of Wisconsin and the issues involved with the John Doe's. And that tells me that this is a national issue and a national story.
Well, if we're looking at the national picture and looking at a Republican donor from out of the state who's supporting Governor Walker now or back in the recall election, that isn't necessarily an indication they're thinking, hey, this guy is my choice for a presidential candidate. They might be thinking this is a prominent Republican governor who's made changes, is facing a big struggle, and I want him to set an example for other states.
Yeah, I think it's more the issue of the ideological issues of the right rather than assuming that he will become automatically a nominee for the presidency once he gets past this hurdle. It's hard to say what's in people's minds necessarily. For some, they may see him as the kind of candidate they'd really like to promote for the presidency. He's when you talk about four or five candidates nationally, possible candidates for the presidency on the Republican side, he's often mentioned. I have the Sabato's crystal ball from a couple weeks ago, and they had three tiers. The Democrats, by the way, just have one person in the top tier. You can figure out who that is. The Republicans had no one. I'm reading this right off. Absolutely nobody in the first tier. Second tier, they had Jeb Bush, Rand Paul, and Paul Ryan, interestingly enough. Third tier, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Scott Walker. So that what it tells me is that he is, if you're just looking at this, he's in the top six, basically. So he's widely mentioned. I think Chris Christie is generally acknowledged to be in there. He wasn't listed in the top two tiers here, but he's certainly attempting to make a comeback as well. But it's very clear that if you name five or six people across America that are thinking of running for the presidency or that are national figures, Scott Walker is certainly one of them.
Well, I think if I were trying to make a sales pitch for Scott Walker over any of those other candidates except Jeb Bush, I might point to one statewide elections in very purple states, very closely divided states. This shows, hey, this is somebody who might be able to win swing states elsewhere in the country. Jeb Bush, similar story in Florida, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's the issue that I think a lot of Republicans would see. First of all, he's a governor, and I think history says that governors start off with a better advantage than, say, U.S. senators or state representatives or national representatives. So he starts off with a base, and he's in from a purple state. If he can win several elections, three elections, for example, if he wins in November, he's won three elections in a very purple state, basically.
And then looking also at the governor's background here, I think somebody from the outside would look and say, okay, this guy has been through very hot, controversial elections. We're not going to get any surprises here. If anybody on the Democratic side has dirt on this guy, they have deployed it. Is that something that people think about when they're going through the process of figuring out who they support as a presidential candidate?
Well, a lot of the things that people would argue about nationally are certainly known in Wisconsin. You know, the John Doe 1 and 2, obviously, those are fairly big issues here. I think most of his, there's not too much in the closet, shall we say, that would really affect him nationally. The one thing I wonder about, however, while Wisconsin voters may not care too much whether he is or isn't a graduate of a four-year college, I wonder how that plays nationally with the national media, you know, whether he can pass that test of intellectual ability if you don't have a college degree. That would be very unusual, frankly. And you don't know how the press is going to handle that, obviously, until it actually occurs.
We're talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse, about how the governor's race might affect Scott Walker's career ambitions going forward.
And we hope you'll join the conversation. Would Governor Walker, do you think, be a strong candidate among others on the national scene? Would losing this reelection bid mean game over for a presidential run? Get in touch with us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. You can also comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at the UW-La Crosse. We're wondering how the outcome of the gubernatorial election 2 weeks from today will impact Governor Walker's possible presidential aspirations. The New York Times ran a front-page story yesterday declaring that Governor Walker needs to win Wisconsin if he wants to take his career to the next level.
And we want to hear from you. What do you expect to happen in the race for governor? Is it safe to assume that because Governor Walker survived a recall, he'll win this reelection handily or not? And what does it mean for a possible presidential run for the governor? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Joe, before we get to our callers, Wisconsin, right? Divided right down the middle. You named a list of possible presidential candidates, two of them on the Republican side from Wisconsin. I'm guessing zero on the Democratic side. Why is Wisconsin supplying these national contenders for the Republicans and not the Democrats?
Well, I think the Paul Ryan, of course, that's an obvious one. He was vice presidential nominee, and it's pretty common for a vice presidential nominee to think of themselves as a potential presidential as well. The story that I hear over is that they won't run against each other. They're good friends, basically, and Scott Walker is more likely to run than Paul Ryan. Ryan seems to be very comfortable in the House of Representatives. He's got a lot of influence there. He's a good legislator. I mean, he likes the legislative process, and if I had to bet, I would say that it would be Scott Walker more likely to run. The governor's been very careful about not totally closing that door. There was an issue asked a couple of weeks ago, you know, are you going to fill out your four-year term? And he's been very careful about saying he has no plans not to, things like that, but he is not committed necessarily to a four-year term. That opens up the door to considering that down the road, of course.
Yeah, but why no Democrats rising to that level of prominence? I mean, some people talked maybe Russ Feingold at some point, but that never really crystallized. Where are the prominent Wisconsin Democrats on the national stage?
You know, that's a very good question. I think the era of the last 5-6 years, the Republicans have clearly moved into greater prominence. I recall saying about 2 years ago that the fact that the Democrats had to bring back Mayor Barrett to run in the recall was, and if you looked at who else was running in that recall, that was an indication that the Democrats have a relatively shallow bench. And you could speculate about that, but for a variety of reasons, the Democrats that would be moving up to that level or at least thinking about it just aren't there, frankly. And without a strong bench, basically, of people moving up, you're not going to expect to have people at the presidential level. By the way, having a potential candidate for the presidency is a rare thing. Mm-hmm. You know, not many people, especially from the Midwest, there's a certain litmus test, if you want to call it that, for the presidential candidates. And the governor in Wisconsin or a Wisconsin politician, for a variety of reasons, just hasn't made that test for the most part. So I don't think it's a necessarily negative thing. I think it's somewhat of an honor to have a governor or anybody from Wisconsin being considered a presidential contender. I take it that, and I think a lot of voters would agree with that.
Let's get to our callers now. We've got Steve on the line in Neillsville. Steve, hi.
Yes, thanks for having me. With all due respect, we find a leader in not only Paul Ryan, but Mr. Walker himself, they're one of the same. And I'm telling you, he believes in the Constitution of the United States of America. He believes in our rights, our liberties, our freedoms. And that's what's going to get him in the White House. Because we, the people, are tired of a corrupt administration that lies to us and manipulates the law, doesn't honor the law, the rule of law, or honor the Constitution. We, the people, our votes say anything out in Wisconsin. We vote against gay marriage, and what do? The highest court in the land shoots our votes down. Scott Walker believes in we and the people, and he believes in the Constitution of the United States of America and the rule of law.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Joe, I'm guessing, Steve, it's not an uncommon opinion here in Wisconsin. Are other people outside of Wisconsin maybe talking about Scott Walker in similar ways?
I think so, yes. I think what he attempted to do, say what you agree or disagree with Act 10 and collective bargaining, you have to give the guy a lot of credit for being very courageous. You may not agree with it, but it takes a lot of guts to do what he did, frankly. At least the stories I heard was that when he first floated that idea, a lot of Republicans were very nervous about it, and many said, don't do it, this is a dangerous thing. And, of course, it's led to the demonstrations, as we all know, and a very divided state. And I'm not sure that's all that healthy, but you have to say he gets things done. The Marquette poll mentioned that very positively that he does get things done, and that's very clear. And I think that's a quality that, frankly, people look forward to seeing, frankly, in a president.
Steve, thanks for the call. We'll go to Frank now in Onalaska. Frank, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm glad I followed up the caller from Galesville because I think our governor is exactly the opposite of the rule of law. And the professor alluded to skeletons in the closet, which the media tends to ignore if you get really quickly. I'll name at least six of them. Maybe I don't have time for all. I'll start with the corruption and mismanagement in Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, where a lot of funds have gone missing and unaccounted for. He's been associated with at least a half a dozen of his associates at the county and executive level that have been convicted of crimes. He's spending almost $1 million in defending his own administration and his campaign under the John Doe investigation. There's a question, particularly in light of his attack on our education system, as to exactly why he left Marquette. There's questions about whether he left because he was involved with a cheating scandal.
Gotcha, Frank. I want to jump in because we are limited on time, Joe, especially with things like the first John Doe ending up in some of his aides from Milwaukee County being convicted of felonies. Is that enough of a skeleton in the closet when he comes, and actually out of the closet, I guess, when it comes to the national stage to be a problem for him?
I'd have to say that one has been put to bed. That was a prominent issue. The Democrats tried to utilize that in the recall election. It didn't work. So I don't think that, call it Teflon if you want, a Teflon governor, but that one did not stick at all, frankly. The Wiedek issues, you could argue about it, but basically whether it touches the governor or not is the issue here. So it's, you know, it's in the Marquette story about the degree or the lack of a degree, that's privacy issues, and I doubt very much unless somebody sneaks that out the door that anybody's going to know much about it. So the skeletons, so far he's avoided being tainted by those skeletons.
Now, Philip on Facebook writes, there's no possibility that the Republican establishment would support a presidential nomination for Scott Walker. He says, there's no way that Wall Street money and the Georgetown cocktail circuit is going to allow a person to become president that failed to achieve an undergraduate degree from a small Midwestern school. Is that, do you think, something that would hurt him in the eyes of the Republican establishment?
It certainly could. I don't know if it would because it's so unusual. I don't think we've had a president since I think Harry Truman that did not have a college degree. So it's the kind of thing that could come back to haunt him because most people just assume a president should have that type of level of academic achievement. But so far, it hasn't affected him at all.
Well,
I don't know.
Of attack on that, I want to jump in, Joe. I mean, if Democrats attack him because of that, I think Tom Barrett tried to avoid doing that. It makes maybe the Democrats look elitist. A lot of voters themselves don't have college degrees.
Yeah, it does. And it's so it kind of cuts both ways, basically. I really think the national press is more important on that issue and how they handle it and whether they would make a big deal out of it or not. It certainly makes them unusual and different than other candidates.
So maybe a media self-criticism question here for us and the New York Times. Is it too soon to be thinking about the possibility of a Governor Walker presidential run, given we still have this governor's race to finish out here?
It's a little early. It sure is. Sometime in the spring semester, if he wins the election, there'll be further talk about this. People are jumping at this way too fast sometimes, and that includes talk about Hillary, frankly, as well.
So, what's to watch for 2 weeks from today? What's going to be the deciding factor, do you think, at our governor's race here in Wisconsin?
Well, I'm going to suggest a couple things. One is months ago, I talked to a Democrat who is pretty much in the know in Wisconsin. He said Governor Walker should never have run for re-election. And I said, really? Why? It's a good base to run for the presidency. He said he's got nothing to gain and a lot to lose. Hmm. And I thought that was an interesting thing. If you're really serious about the presidency, he was suggesting that that you should, you know, go ahead and run long and run hard and not worry about being a governor. I don't agree with it, but I thought I'd just tell you that. If he loses this election, I think it seriously damages any potential for him running for the presidency. If he wins close, I think that would call into question whether or not he is, you know, if you win in this state, that's one thing. But, you know, if you win a really close election, I'm not sure that would help him, frankly, at all. If he wins by a substantial margin, however, and frankly, I think that's what would be necessary for to propel him into the presidential talking points for that.
Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse.